Welcome to the best basketball podcast in the nation. This is 5-on-5.
Welcome to season 2, episode 19 of 5-on-5, where this week I have a mic stand, so we have no more issues. All right, we got the main man, the trophy hunter, the glory hunter. We got Big Fist in the building. You heard me.
What's happening, my heart?
All right. We have Pascal Siakam slash Rajon Rondo slash a vomiter after pickup game.
Slash Vogue model. We got to show some respect. Look at the jawline.
Yo.
He's mobbing us.
All right. And then we have Gulen.
He does the same template of introduction every week.
Every time.
Let's cut all this intro shit, all that 10 FD as the second and third fans for Boston on this podcast. What the hell happened today?
Do you want to take this Big Fish or should
I? He's not talking to us because he said second and third. There's no way he's talking to us.
Oh, I didn't catch that part.
There must be another FD.
Who's the first? Who is the first?
It's Gulen, obviously. He loves JB.
Man, 10, let's just be honest. Let's just be honest, okay? Go ahead. Celtics are the best team in the NBA right now. That's just a fact. The numbers support it. The net rating. We're putting up some of the, I'm not even joking. We're putting up franchise and NBA record stuff up right now, okay?
It's everybody.
It's just this is the most complete Celtics team I've seen since 08. I trust this team the most. This is not the same team from that we had the finals run and the Eastern Conference finals run. What happened today was we played the Golden State Warriors and a questionable Steph Curry wasn't supposed to play, suited up. We appreciate you. We appreciate every star that suits up, especially on an injured night.
Yes.
And the Warriors came out and trolled by guarding all NBA shooting guard, 300 mil player, Jalen Marcellus Brown, like he's Ben Simmons. And one thing I commend about Jalen Brown the most is that he has the goldfish. He has the memory of a goldfish, okay? He has the memory of a goldfish. He started out cold for the first couple shots. Joe Mazzulla, credit to him, called a timeout and said, "Partner, if they're going to leave you open, you stroke that thing." And boy, did he stroke it. All right.
Pause.
First half scores 19 points. The Warriors never recovered. never recovered. You could say we Draymond punched them, okay? Because they never recovered from it, okay? It was a great game, great team game, and the Warriors just didn't have an answer, unfortunately. 50-point loss, 10, get in here. What's going on? Mm-hmm. What's going on, man?
Let me tell you something, man.
Tell us.
This is what we like in Celtics basketball, man.
Absolutely.
This is the feeling we have been chasing since 08. And I don't know what else to say, but like you said, Big Fish, like this season of Celtics basketball is,
It's the most enjoyable.
Yeah, it's the most enjoyable, but it kind of feels weird to kind of like be a fan of a team where you expect finals or nothing because you're so far ahead of the competition. Because when you said Celtics are the best team in the NBA, I don't think it's a question at this point. I feel like the only chance any other team has is if there's, knock on wood, that there's a major injury to the Celtics. But with this team as constructed, they're miles ahead. And last year, I don't think I'd be saying that, especially with the talk about Joe Mazzulla.
We had a lot of questions last year.
We had a lot of questions. We didn't know because there's questions about JB's contract, if they might trade it, if Joe Mazzulla was the guy that's going to step up after Ime Udoka, if he could handle these veterans on the team and take them to the next level.
Yeah.
The Celtics are answering the question on all the fronts, and it starts with their signing, with their trade for Kristaps Porzingis. And the crazy thing about that, he did not play today. And the Celtics, what they're doing this year, like you named a bunch of the good stats, they're number one offensive rating, number three in defensive rating, and
only team doing that in both top five ratings on both ends of the floor. Only team.
Offense and defense, and they're number four in the best turnover percentage. So they're not turning the ball over either. And they're able to adjust to basically whatever team's doing. So Big Fish, I know you touched on the way they play Jaylen Brown. They're going under on screens, and Jaylen Brown made them pay right away, and that's what basically killed them in the game. They also kind of helped us that Steph Curry didn't have the best shooting night. He was 0 for 9 for threes, at least in the first half, I think, or the first three quarters. But this Celtics, and you said JB has a memory of a goldfish, but the Celtics, they didn't forget what the Warriors did to them a couple of years ago in the finals. People could say, oh, it's over. Celtics aren't really thinking about that finals, but you could tell the Celtics took this game personally, and the Warriors, I don't know how they felt about the Celtics, but they kind of got a good wake up call. And in terms of confidence, I feel like the Celtics aren't afraid to play anybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me,
before you jump in, Celtic, I think there's a lot of too much pro Celtics propaganda going on right now.
What negative is there?
Honestly. We cannot let Gouled kill this moment.
I'm not gonna.
Can you say about Celtics?
I'm not here to be negative. I'm just saying, like, I think some fans are just want to like turn the hot water down a little bit. You know what I mean? Okay. Before Celtics finishes off. First of all, great win, fantastic win. You guys beat a rolling Warriors team, and you guys yourselves are on some sort of win streak. I think it's 11 games, right?
Yep,
11 games.
10. Should be 10, but it could be 11.
No, today's the 11th.
So kudos to that. Now, there are a few things that I want to touch on. specifically, you guys say you guys are far and ahead the best team by miles. Do you guys mean like in the NBA? Just for clarification.
You could throw the Upper League in there too. Like, what do you want us to say?
I honestly think the biggest competition to the Celtics, even though the standing doesn't reflect, still the Denver Nuggets. But I think the Boston Celtics is far better than the Denver Nuggets, at least this year.
Okay, well, some things I wanted to say about that. But before I finish, first of all, kudos to the Boston Celtics roster construction. This is some of the most elite roster constructions I've ever seen in my life. Great coaching, fantastic play. And you know, you guys should, like you mentioned, be in the finals. But I don't agree that you guys are far and ahead the best team in the NBA. On a night like today, it might feel like it. You know, after you beat the brakes off a Steph Curry team that, you know, beat you in the finals, and you're off that high and you guys are playing well. But the NBA, especially in the regular season, is, you know, an up and down time, and you know, sometimes you might win by this much. Sometimes you might lose like you guys did to the Milwaukee Bucks and sit your players down at halftime and have nothing to say about it afterwards. So all of this being said, I don't agree that you guys are far and ahead the best team in the NBA, because once the playoffs come around, the record resets. It's not about who you got. It's what you got. You know, do you got heart? You're going to hit those shots that matter.
That's true.
Is everyone going to show up and do, you know, what they need to do to get the job done? And I still trust the Denver Nuggets over the Boston Celtics because
Yeah.
You know what?
Because of the fact that they still have the best player in the NBA. Far and wide the best player in the NBA, actually.
Not far and wide.
I think it's far and wide. Well, in your opinion. Anyways, I was going to say far and wide the best player in the NBA. They also are battle tested. They've been together for a long time. They got great coaching as well, and when things get rough, their core of players and their depth has felt that heat before. Some of your players on the Celtics have not experienced that. More so Porzingis, maybe relying on him during tough times might not be something that you guys find is very exciting. I do like the adding of Xavier Tillman. But again, back to the core of it, I don't think
you guys are far ahead for him too.
Yeah, no, he's great.
Great signing.
He's just like, that's my son. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I want you guys to enjoy this. I want you guys to enjoy this for sure. And I wouldn't be surprised if you guys won the finals, but saying you guys are far and ahead the best team in the NBA, maybe roster construction, maybe I give that to you. But team is not just the players you put on the floor. It's the everything else too.
I have one question, Gulak, before how that goes. One question for Gulak. I know you mentioned the Denver Nuggets. That's the only team you mentioned. Do you think that's the only threat to them in the league? And by that, by you saying that, are you basically locking the Celtics in for the finals? Do you see anyone in the East that could knock the Celtics off?
Why, of course I do. And especially because of what happened last year. You cannot just chalk people up as in the finals anymore. And I love it. Unless your name is LeBron freaking James in the past 15 years, nothing is guaranteed anymore. LeBron James used to dominate the East, and people in the West, it used to be the Spurs, the Warriors, Kobe team, stuff like that. The league is open right now, and I don't think anyone has grabbed that throne just yet.
I think it's open for everyone in the East except, like, I feel like the East, I know this is going to sound really biased, the East is a race for second place at this point, because I know we can't really tell what's going on. Of course, a team could fall off in the playoffs, Celtics could choke in the playoffs, but if we're just judging strictly off this regular season, I don't see another team that could beat this team, that form that we're seeing right now, four times in 2 weeks. And I feel like that's hard to do, but
that is a crazy thing. Four times in 2 weeks, 14 days. Can you beat us four times? That's insane.
That's tough.
I just want to go at a little bit of what Glenn said. I agree to a point where I say I agree. Hold on. When I say I agree, he's wrong about us not being the best team. We are the best team. And I'll tell you why. When it comes to playoffs, and everyone knows, everyone who watches any basketball knows, it doesn't matter how, it matters how good of a team you are, but a lot of it is matchups, right? Like, if you have a bad defender inside your rotation, he's being attacked the second's on the court, right? Right? We all agree.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Boston Celtics have seven players deep that could all hit threes, that could all play great D. Seven players.
Seven.
All right. The next two, probably Peyton Pritchard, where the only reason he's not elite at defense because he's short. He will kill you from three. All right.
Shout out Peyton Pritchard, by the way.
Shout out Peyton Pritchard. But
playing great this year.
What I love about the matchup thing, all right, the Boston Celtics this season are first in catch and shoot threes. That means if you help, all right, not in catch and shoot threes, sorry, in catch and shoot points. So that means if you help, you're dead. We're scoring that, all right? But we're also first in post-ups. So God forbid there's a small-ass big on Tatum, all right, it's done for you. On Porzingis, it's done for you. A small guard on JB is done for you. On Drew Holiday, a small point guard is done for you. We're first in post-ups, first in catch and shoot. That's elite. No other team is top five in both. There's not one. We are number one in both. That's elite.
Yep. Yeah, I do think you guys, that's why that's I gave you guys roster construction to you guys, because I think the craziest thing that you guys have is that flexibility. And I especially agree with the roster construction and the flexibility because of the addition of Xavier Tillman. And I think that's good Porzingis insurance. I'm worried about Porzingis the most, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
I think you guys love him now, and he's unlocked you guys, but we don't know if that's going to be sustainable. He could really disappear on y'all, whether it's injury or mentally.
I hope we don't have two other all NBA players.
Exactly. Al Horford being the insurance before was great because, you know, he's battle tested. Of course, everyone says the age thing, but then come playoffs time, he always performs anyways. But then adding Xavier Tillman, I think, adds that bit of flexibility, or even more flexibility.
He's insurance.
I think you guys are very, very, very dangerous. Yeah. And I think the matchups you guys can create, you guys can scheme very well.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I will say the one thing I'm most proud about. So last year when Tatum and Brown were in the playoffs, they were third and sixth in playoff minutes. And that's with them not going to the finals, right? So they played they had to play for us to win, all right?
Yep.
And now we're seeing, because we're so deep, we're resting. So if Porzingis, God forbid, has that moment you're talking about, whether it's injury, whether it's mentally. All right, Tatum, but now instead of 30 minutes, it's 38, buddy. And you're power forward. And go win the series, you know?
Yep.
So
yeah,
I'm not worried about that because these players are they're barely playing now as is for stars that they are. Where other teams, yep, LeBron needs to play 40. Curry needs to play 38. Giannis and Dame each need to play 36, 37. JB and Tatum could be like, yo, let's play 30, go win the game, and then after I go home, that's it. You know, and I think that's going to really help in the playoffs.
Absolutely. Can I say what my favorite thing about this Celtics team right now is? I just think on the margins, really, it was – I think I got this from JJ's recent pod, right, where he talked about – damn, I'm blanking. I actually blanked. But I think it was something about the pace that JB and JT – the maturity. The maturity JB and JT had – oh, that's what it is. I figured it out. Sorry. Let me restart. My favorite thing about this Celtics – team, right, and JB's growth, and just partially due to Mazzulla as well, they don't fight the game anymore. You know what I mean? They're not fighting the game. I honestly, you know, I'm the biggest JB lover. I love the guy, but he is a no riz. He's going at you like, ah, you know what I mean? He goes at the game. He doesn't let it come to him. You can't say that about this season. You know, I wanted to keep it PG. I didn't want to go nowhere else. But it's fair, though. JB doesn't attack the game anymore. He's actually reading. He's processing anymore, right? JT reading and processing. You could. It's just so amazing because now I know they're already battle-tested. Like Gulet said, Denver being battle-tested. Besides Denver and Joker, besides the championship, we're just as battle-tested. You know what I mean? JT and JB, they've seen it. They've been there. Yeah. It's not going to surprise them. It's not going to shock them. So when the game slows down, I just trust this team so much. You know, I trust this duo so much to really figure it out. This team, this whole team, everyone's just figuring it out, man. And honestly, it's shout out to Joe Mazzulla because he has a team going out there from top to bottom, bought into a system of playing the right way, playing the numbers, and just trusting the system. I haven't seen the team panic one time, even in losses. I haven't seen the team panic. Some things don't work out, and that's how it happens. That's how the cookie crumbles. But I haven't seen our team crumble, you know, fold under pressure, stuff like that. We play the way we want to play, and I think that's the mark of a good team.
No, I mean,
I wanted to say something real quick about you saying JB's not cheating the game or JT, and I totally agree with that, and that's been the difference. And I think the trading away of Marcus Smart was the one guy, not the one guy, but he was also a part of that the last couple of years where sometimes there might be moments where they kind of get away from the game plan or do some things that might not exactly, you know when something's against the flow of the team. And that's actually the same reason why I don't trust, you know, the Timberwolves to make a deep run in the playoffs, because I've seen them, I've seen them do dumb things. Yeah, do them dumb stuff down the stretch where you're not like playing within the system. You're playing hero ball, or you're forcing shots, or you're trying to get someone 60 points. So those tendencies are exactly what it takes to those tendencies. Curing them is what it takes to get to the next level.
A lot of teams are not granted the privilege of that failure and coming back the next year, though, to be fair. You know what I mean? Like the Celtics are very, like, very blessed to be good enough to get there themselves and fail like that and come back and be able to, like, you know,
and learn from those mistakes.
No, it's hard to make
a lot of teams, they blow it up after that.
No, it's hard to
come to the East. No, come to the East, buddy. That shit ain't flying in the West. JB and JT would literally be Pelicans on the West.
Okay.
You don't know what they'd be in the West.
Speaking of the West, a big rookie, a matchup, two bigs. Wemby versus Chet. I don't know if y'all watched it. I want to start off because I day one of this season, I came out and said, I told you all, I think Wemby's going to be great. And I'm glad he's been proven it.
He's going to save the game.
Yeah,
no. Wemby's already the GOAT, and we have to accept it.
Already.
We have to accept it.
I knew Wemby would come in because obviously I was like, okay, so Wemby's tall as hell, a freak athlete, been playing pro for a number of years. I knew he'd come in being good. I didn't know he'd come in being this good.
Yeah.
Especially on a team where, like, on any other team, if he's on Detroit, it's Wemby's team, and he's shooting 40 times a game. But the Spurs, Greg, which I love Greg Pop, this is, like, I want to say, by the way, everyone else is just complaining about it, but, like, give Wemby the ball. I get it. And sometimes the team does the wrong thing. This is how you make a Spurs superstar. It's not about your
name.
That's
a great point, Sal. Coin that. That's a great point.
Yeah, it's not about your name. We don't care about the name on the back of the jersey. If you're on Greg Popovich's team, we care about the Spurs. That's what matters. Yeah. Look at every – during the Greg Popovich era, every star they had has been so team-oriented. There's not – and then the second Kawhi was stopping team-oriented, what happened? He left. He's like
– Whoa, let's not do that.
No, I wasn't talking –
not like, hey,
the way to handle it.
Come on.
It's not come on.
You know what I mean?
Leave his name out of this.
But every star in the Spurs – in Greg Popovich's era has been a team-first player.
Absolutely.
Every single star. There's not one during his time. Manu, Tony, David Robinson. David Robinson was coming off 2 years off being an MVP. Saw Tim Duncan, and Greg Pop said, this is his team now, by the way. And then Robinson said, okay, cool. I'll be the second best. And it was no argument, no drama, no just, hey, let's go win a ring. That was it. No conversation. All right, Tony.
He was also in the military. So he knows a thing or two about the chain of command.
But all I want to say about the
wish these young brothers don't anymore.
But all I want to say with this Wemby and Chet argument, Chet was just like 4 years too late. Because Chet is good.
Disagree.
I want to say this. Chet is good. I'm pleased.
He's built different.
No, Chet is a really good, and he will be an all-star in his future. No question in my mind. I know that. Wemby's just better. And there's nothing wrong with that. But Wemby's just better. That's it.
Who wants to go next? Because I actually watched the game and I have a lot of takes. Ten, go ahead.
Yeah, because Sadiq, you brought up a lot of good points about the Wemby versus Chet thing, but I think I know Chet's not doing himself any favors because they have a similar play style. They're both rookies this year, and they have similar he's a rookie. He was hurt last year. the thing about Chet though is he's always gonna get compared to Wemby now, which sucks for him because he's a great player. And I think it's fun to see, especially between the Spurs and the OKCs, because while they're similar players, their teams are on completely different ends of the spectrum. The OKC, they've been a young team for a while now. They're a well-oiled machine. They have Chet's not the best player on this team. He has an MVP candidate that he's playing with, and he kind of has to play alongside that, which he's doing well. Wemby, on the other hand, I don't think there's any question that he's better than Chet, even though Chet's a great player. But Wemby has potential to be like face of the league type thing, right? I know you said Vic Fischi joked. You said he's already the GOAT. We have to accept it. I know I hate talking about this because I hate even bringing it up like that, but I think Wemby has a great chance to be the best player in the NBA, barring injury. And
at least top 10. At least top 10. Minimum top 10, in my opinion.
Oh, minimum. But, that's crazy.
But I honestly think minimum top 10 player of all time.
No. But the thing is, to be all time, you have to play great for a certain amount of time, right? Like, if you have three, four great years,
you get to just have good 2 years and everyone calls you to go, right? My bad. Different sport. Go ahead. Patrick Mahomes is
early in his career. He has a lot of time left, brother. He's not a lot of time left. Tom Brady better watch his back.
Go back to Wemby.
Back to Wemby. All right. But it's looking like Wemby is looking at a great career because, like you said, Sadiq, we knew Wemby was going to be good. This year, I thought he was going to be great at defense, which he is. He's averaging 3.3 blocks a game. He's leading the NBA. And I feel like he could be a defensive player of the year candidate. But I did not see him scoring, being a 20 points per game scorer off his first year. And you could tell it's only going to grow because he's doing this, guys, with a team first half of the year that had no regard that he was on the court. He had to beg for the ball to get the ball. They had Jeremy Sochan at point guard, and they really don't have a point guard on the team. And you know, as the years goes on, Wemby's going to get better, the team's going to get better, and it's looking scary. What do you think, Big Fish?
I'll make it real quick, all right? I watched the game. I tuned into it because I was flipping through the games, and I said, wow, this matchup moves me because I think Solid would appreciate this. Those two go at it. Okay, there's no ducking. Those two get subbed in and out at the same time. So the coaches are respecting this rivalry, all right? Deadass, okay? To the 10th point, you're right. Honestly, it's better for Chet's career to start as a rookie at the same time as Wemby than be healthy last season and play because Wemby's not going to eclipse, you know, already.
They're
going to
call him a 2.0. They're going
at the same time. Now they're going to go at the same rate, kind of, you know? Wemby redefined. I never saw LeBron as a rookie. I saw a little bit of Luka. I saw a lot of these players. Wemby redefined generational talent to me. This is a generational talent to me, right? He first year, he might actually win a defensive player of the year. Minimum. He's not even playing his best, and he might win a defensive player of the year. That's insane to me. That's really insane to me. And to Solik's point, I think that's actually a fact. Every single Spurs player plays a certain type of way. Every Spurs great. Every Spurs great. But I'll go even a step further. They play a more, you know, not just team-oriented, or just a more impactful way than other superstars, in my opinion.
That's a good way to put it.
More impactful. I don't know what numbers would, you know, support this, but Duncan simply plays both ends so efficiently. Kawhi was so efficient. Tony Parker was a maestro. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, these guys are, and I, there's no one else I would want to take care of this Bugatti than my main mechanic, Pop. All right? Mm. You take care of this, get it tuned, and then you just let it free soon.
Yo, imagine if you were playing for Monty Williams. I don't know, yay.
Imagine if Chet, would imagine still if be Wemby was on the OKC Thunder with Shea.
I would actually approve a nuking of Oklahoma. Wait. Is this the red button? Press it. they cannot exist.
Yeah, clip that.
Straight up. But something to your point, if he was drafted to Detroit, Wemby would still be generational. He's so good. Monty can't.
I know. But I was saying it would be a different kind. That'd be the kind of team he goes to and leaves in 4 years, you know?
No, that's the type of team he goes to and wins MVP the first year because his team sucks also, so bad.
One thing. I do hear a lot of sounds about him being a defensive player of the year. In my opinion,
he could.
I mean, he's in the running. I don't think you a player which I'd be able to say this.
It's an individual award, Saleh. I know what you're about to say. It's an individual award. Individual award.
I'm on Saleh's side here.
You can't give defensive player of the year someone with
he
like.
Get a, he can get an all NBA team, like a defensive team.
Yeah, all defensive team.
No, 10. They're already doing that thing. 10, they're already doing that thing. This is why LeBron doesn't have more MVPs. They're already doing that thing.
No, because I feel you. Because I know Saleh and Gulad, you're going to say if you win those type of awards, your team needs to have some kind of success. But I think that only matters to most of the awards. I don't think that matters to deep player.
Defense wins you games. When I think defense, I think you should win a certain minimum amount of games if you play that good of a defense.
How many games did the Spurs win this season? I can guarantee you every single one of those wins was solely because Wemby dragged them to that win.
I want you to go look across all defensive player of the year winners. I guarantee you their team was probably like a top four seed every single time.
But the thing is, MVP, of course, I think you need to win. Most approved, you need to win, but you can't fake three blocks.
Ten. But we all come on. We all know. Let's be honest. Your defense is more just about. It's not about the stats. Your blocks per game. All right. Like, and I know you guys, but don't like this guy. All right. But it's Rudy Gobert, like we see him affect the game defensively. Like people, like it's a joke. Oh, everyone in the playoffs dunking him. We see NBA players see Rudy Gobert.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And don't you think
he's not a joke player? If
Wemby's in that paint, do you think he's not changing shots?
But 10. I'm saying 10. Right. It might be because he's a rookie or something. I'm saying right now he's getting his blocks cool. And don't get me wrong, he will win one.
Yeah, I understand what you mean.
He will win one. He will win one.
He will.
Yeah.
But when is his team? Because Rudy Gobert was so good that he made that Jazz team a number one but defense. You know what I mean? Like that's how good he was. Scored 5 points a game and won it. Draymond was in every. Draymond single-handedly defended the Warriors at times. You know what I mean? He's not there yet. Yeah. He's getting the block.
Yeah. No, because you're saying I know what you're saying. He has a talent, but his team's not good enough as a whole for him to.
I know. I truly think the defensive player of the year. I think of a defensive player of the year candidate single-handedly changing his whole team.
Yeah, defense. Well, you see it. You see, like
Rudy Gobert changes the fabric of your defense. Like, you can only be so bad at defense with that person on your team. So, and if you even look at the past 10 winners of it, Jaren Jackson, Marcus Smart, Rudy Gobert, Giannis, Rudy Gobert twice again, Draymond, Kawhi, and then Joakim Noah, that team was like fourth seed minimum.
And the good thing, but the thing about all those defensive player of the years you mentioned, all those teams,
I'll give you that,
had better teams. Yeah. And what I'm saying is, if you, I know it's a hypothetical. You guys hate when I do this. Take Wemby and put him on any one of those defensive player of the year teams. Do you think he's having less of an impact?
I will say this: if Wemby was on that Jazz team for Rudy Gobert, I still think their first NBA, all that stuff, or they were cool. I don't think they're first in defense.
I don't know if I agree with that, Ten. But I will tell you, we just did a hypothetical by putting Wemby on OKC and Abdi threatened to nuke Oklahoma City. So clearly, these hypotheticals don't even matter. The reality of the situation is he is on the Spurs.
I wiped it off the map.
Okay, so we have to look at what we have in front of us. This guy's threatening to nuke a freaking state. That doesn't. Don't do it, please. He did it. So the hypotheticals don't matter, hey, man.
Let's quickly. Just go ahead and move on. Let's talk about the NBA. It recently came out. The ruling committee came out about something about wanting. Basically, they're saying offense is the problem. It's too easy right now. And the thing about
the exact words they use is the NBA's competition committee has officially begun reviewing whether the game has become too advantageous for offense and whether some changes need to be implemented to achieve better balance. And it's funny that we talk about this right after talking about defense, right?
Yes.
Defense this. Wemby that. Rudy Gobert this. What is defense anymore? What is defense?
Defense.
Is it being tall? Is it blocking shots?
Steals.
Is it steals? You know what I mean? Is it making the game as hard as possible
right there.
For your enemies? Like Marcus Smart,
that's it.
Using every single bit of psychological and physical warfare that you can have at your disposal. Sorry, I don't know what.
That's great.
I'm being defended by my brain right now. I'm being full-court pressed by my brain. And so Joe Dumars is, one of the players, or sorry, one of the figureheads in the NBA, and. He told ESPN earlier in the month, it's a topic we're monitoring and we're diving in right now to make sure we're on the right side of things. So I'm just going to read you all some stats that were brought out. When Adam Silver took over as commissioner, the league-wide offensive rating was below 105 points per 100 possessions and since has risen steadily to 115 points per 100 possessions this season. Okay? So... they're saying that players are more talented. Teams have been prioritizing higher percentage shots than they did in the past. You know, analytics this, analytics that. I want to ask you guys. Don't give me a whole monologue. What do you guys think has caused this change or trend towards better offense in the NBA? So how to keep it short.
Okay, people can really shoot now.
People could really shoot now. Abdi, what do you think?
Player to Salik's point, players can shoot better,
mm-hmm.
but they're also more talented. So they're mm-hmm. able to space them more. So that means there's more space being guarded, which is obviously harder on the athlete.
Mm. Okay, and then 10?
I think they brought up two good points. Number one, players are good, but I think the way the players exploit the fact that the defense can't play as hard and using the way the defense can foul out as a way to exploit the offense a little better. So I feel like that's a big hole.
And you know what? I'm going to give you all my opinion, and I feel like I got y'all here. I think I actually have put my finger on the issue, and I want to know whether you guys agree or disagree.
What you think?
Not only do I know what's wrong, I know who did it. The Golden State Warriors ruined the NBA. And if you think back to it, it all makes sense. You think back to that year, 2014, I think they lose to the Grizzlies. But then 2015 comes. And Steph Curry becomes the best player we've ever seen ever.
That's the year before they had the... Actually, that's the same year they set like an NBA record for the highest net rating too, I think.
Exactly. Steph Curry, the Splash Brothers, and Draymond Green, and Steve Kerr, and all those boys, and Andre Iguodala going to that team of free agency changed the direction of the NBA.
And don't you think it's kind of funny now that you said that Steve Kerr is actually one of the top guys pushing this thing that's saying there's an offensive problem in the NBA. Like his team didn't have a big thing to do with it. When his team is
problems, he doesn't know how to create offense.
When they're leaving their
don't you guys agree? Don't you guys? If it all makes sense now, think back to before Steph Curry in 2015. The NBA final, we weren't talking about offensive issues. We had Spurs and Heat finals. We had you know, Grizzlies. You know,
the best team in NBA, the Heat, had LeBron James and D Wade, who neither of them were like LeBron at his peak was a 40% shooter. But these were neither of them were elite shooters.
Oh, exactly. So you go back to it. This all makes sense. I think the Golden State Warriors ruined basketball. And then it also because teams, if you guys remember, the whole construction of rosters changed after that as well. People were trying to catch up to them. People were trying to load up on shooters. People were trying to do the Houston Rockets type offenses where you got Harden, you know, leading the way, and then you got a bunch of, you know, people spacing the floor, more iso ball, more pick and roll, more switching. And then you also mix in the fact that LeBron also changed the game with the way he's player movement, you know, building super teams, stuff like that. So everything accelerate all at the same time. Everything all happened at once. This is NBA inflation right here.
And then LeBron came in and...
Stop it. This is NBA inflation right here. A few things happen, and then the market crashes. Okay, and this is what's happening right now, and there will be a correction.
But
there will be a correction.
Thank you for mentioning Agulad.
Yep, exactly.
Thank you for mentioning Agulad, because you brought some good points, and I like your last point. This is what we're going to do around the 5-on-5 pod. I think everybody, we're going to go around. Everybody's going to give one suggestion. If you could pick one thing, you're Adam Silver for a day, your mission is to implement one rule. They said NBA offense is a problem.
Let's prosecute Draymond Green for the crimes of the Golden State Warriors.
Draymond is locked. Draymond
is locked up. Sorry, go ahead.
Draymond is locked up. He's gone.
No, sorry. No, I don't want to use that. I don't want to use that as much.
But you're Adam Silver for a day. Your mission is to fix NBA offense. Mine is kind of vague, all right? Because I don't even know the exact, but I think what they need to do is because – honestly, it's not entertaining to watch NBA teams or NBA players like fish for fouls or like James Harden does or Trae Young does. You see the NBA still trying to kind of like stop like the swipe around, the jumping into a player after they run over a screen. But I think, I don't know how they're going to do it, but NBA needs to implement more offensive fouls and crack down on when players are fishing for the foul. They need to be penalized for that so they can stop doing it. But that's one thing. What do you think?
I really think that just like everything in life, it will self-correct. Because I look at the game now and this is the craziest amount of talent we've ever had. That's a fact. And that's the thing that they can deny. So there's a great amount of talent in the league. Everyone's able to do different things with terms of like handling the ball and shooting. And even you got big guys shooting now. So I do think that the way that the Celtics and the Nuggets and a lot of these other teams are swaying back in the direction of team ball, in continuity, in, you know, developing your stars and not giving up on them after a few years. I think it's going to start shifting back towards that, especially now that a lot of those main stars who were the issues in the past, aka LeBron James and Steph Curry, are heading towards the end of their career, like generational talent, and then you have the new wave coming in now. I think there's going to be so many good players going forward that I think the game is just going to readjust. So I do think they can clean up the foul calls and clean up the lack of tools the defenders have to stay in front of their man, like their defensive players.
Yeah.
I do think overall this is not something that you could just change one thing and it's going to fix the league. Just like what happened before, it's going to be a few years before you see it take into effect.
It's incremental, yeah. Hey, what do you think, Big Fish?
Take away 3 seconds.
Oh, that's nasty. That's nasty.
You're leaguing us.
It's a double-edged sword, you know what I mean? The offensive player knows their best defender is going to be camping in the paint. The defense is going to know you're missing one guy on defense, and there's a possible shooter somewhere in the empty space. So maybe let's get a little freaky. You know what I mean?
Take it away, or extend the amount of time that you could spend in the paint.
No,
taking away would be hilarious.
If they don't want to take it away, I'm with Goulet was saying extend their amount of time.
I feel like a seven second.
That's the whole half.
Five seconds. 24 seconds.
I mean, even 3 seconds. Is it really 3 seconds? That is actually a interesting change, and I don't know how they're gonna feel about it, especially with Wemby coming into the league now. This is single handedly might give Thon Maker and Taco Fall their jobs back.
No, but also because you brought up a good point. You imagine like someone like Rudy Gobert in the paint the entire time. That's gonna eliminate the other teams from making layups, right? But also look at the other side, Southie. Look at the other side. The reason why Rudy Gobert was unplayable in some series is because he was in the paint too much. And or like Goulet said, the NBA, this is the best shooting the NBA has ever seen. Teams are going to find a way to make you pay for camping the paint. So it's going to be interesting.
Yep. Mm. And at the end of the day, this solves our Giannis problem.
What do you think, Sadiq?
I mean, the obvious answer, look, and y'all said one, I'm going two. I cheat. The obvious answer, all right, is stop calling fouls where the offensive player starts to contact. If the offensive player initiates contact, it's not a foul.
Yeah.
All right, that's the obvious one. And I hate it because I think this player is very talented, but he's the poster for this right now. I'm calling it the Joel Embiid rule. All right, where he gets those extra 10 points a game because he kind of just flops into someone. All right, the Trae Young, the Joel Embiid rule, all that. But get rid of that. I promise you, more defenders will come out in the league. All right. My second thing, though, and this is my drastic change. This is like my very dramatic change. All right. Big time change. All right. I'm doing this for a reason. See this? What does this mean? No more corner threes. Extend 3-point line where it phases out. Now, hear me out. Again, this is a very drastic change. It's not a big, right? But the Draymond, the prime Draymonds, the corner three, the corner three merchants, put a Bam Adebayo, Rudy Gobert, or Giannis on them. Let's see you go past them again. That was 2 points instead of three. That 1 point difference, it's a big thing.
You're literally changing the culture of the NBA. You are changing parks cities. You're changing parks and cities that haven't had funding for years. You're just new lines now?
PJ Tucker no longer has a job.
And Sadiq.
He already doesn't have a job in this league.
Sadiq, not even brought up, okay? It isn't even brought up. No more. Those corner threes are just 2 points now.
Sadiq, you want to hear something? You want to hear something that's really going to hurt you? One of your favorite players, Jimmy Butler, came into the league as a 3-and-D corner guy.
I agree.
He would be out of a job.
Hey, Goulet, that was before, like you said, Curry and them went and ruined the game, right? Different era, different rules.
Sadiq. Do you guys agree? Did I cook there?
No. But Sadiq, you did cook there, Goulet. But Sadiq, if you think that removing a corner three would reduce the amount of 3-point attempts in the NBA, you got nothing coming.
No, they will reward those guys.
People will be shooting from half court regularly.
Beginning of the shots. 10. Those guys who can really shoot from range also like, because if you do that, the way the court's built, if you could get to extend it out, the top will extend as well. So everything's just a little bit further up top as well. Let me tell you, Jared Jackson, you're done. I can name players. You're done. Jared Jackson, you're done, buddy. All right? No more 3 points for you. Now it's a deep two. Now sell me a bag.
Imagine PJ Tucker shooting half court.
Like I said, but the real change is the calls from the ref. That's my real change. If the offensive player initiates contact, so if I drive into Goulet and my shoulder into his chest and he puts his hand up the whole way, it doesn't matter if he moves anything, it's not a foul on him. It's not a foul on him. End of story. Yes. Abdi.
I hear everything you guys are saying, but I think we should move on to something more important, something bigger than even the NBA identity, okay? The torch holder of the NBA scored his 40,000th point yesterday versus Denver, right? The King, some call King, the King made history, right? The man has, this will be very quick, by the way. Okay, I don't even expect a response, but I will just say the guy has a triple-double in career stats. 40K points, 10K rebounds, 11K assists.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. What's crazier is how on last Wednesday, how he let his nuts hang on the LA Clippers. He, in that fourth quarter stretch, did things to that team that I haven't seen since 2013 Miami. Deadass.
I'm banking the table.
No.
You're beating the shit out of that table right now, dog.
That was like Gulen likes to say, Gulen loves to say, used to say this about his favorite player, right? That was vintage. That was vintage.
All right, let's do it.
Pull-up three, splash! Another pull-up three, splash!
And he's doing this on the way back.
He has a new selling, by the way. He does this.
No, he actually.
That was a great performance, and I just want to say that reminded me, because you could have told me there was another top five player on the court with him. I wouldn't know, because Kawhi did nothing in that stretch. Okay, LeBron James, until he decides to. Is him.
Yes.
Okay. And no one else will affect and put their paws on the game like LeBron. 10 go ahead.
And that's and with that being said, now I want a quick game. I want to know what y'all's favorite LeBron bucket is out of his 40,000. He scored a lot. I need y'all to choose one. What's your favorite LeBron bucket? 10, you got one?
It has to be that game winner that hit the bank against the Wizards.
Like on a random Tuesday night,
off that right wing.
Good one, Ten. That was a good one.
Thanks,
good
one. Kevin, on the Kevin Love outlet. Hey, that was a bucket, and the fact that he probably did it on purpose.
That was so beautiful.
Abdi, you got one?
Yeah, I will say my favorite one, because all my other favorite moments are like kind of like stretches. But if I had to say my favorite bucket, I would say his game winner when he was on Miami versus Golden State. That 3-pointer that he hit over Iguodala. That I felt like was like a signature LeBron moment.
Mm-hmm. He just watched
the throne. Y'all remember that celebration?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, how come he didn't bring that back? That's fire.
Father, you got one?
Yeah, I remember one. And this is not my favorite because it burned my chest. Game 7 versus the young Tatum Celtics. LeBron drove in from the right side, got fouled, and it's towards the end of the first quarter. And he got fouled, but like somehow he kept running towards like the fans, and all you see him say, "I'm not subbing out. I'm not subbing out." I never did me. I was like, "Damn it, bro, we're gonna lose." That's a game 7. And I look at myself. I'm like, "We're losing this game."
It's all right, man.
Oh man. I'm choosing between two right now. I might cheat, but I'm gonna go first. I think my favorite bucket is Miami LeBron playing a depleted Bulls, and I'm walking by my TV screen because, like, you know, they're being really mean to the depleted Bulls. But we always fought, by the way. We always gave them a battle. And someone throws LeBron a lob, and he's coming baseline from the corner, and the man just jumps over another human being, John Lucas, and just, like, he wasn't even there, and he just caught a lob and jumped over John Lucas. I think that was my favorite bucket. Or LeBronto, when he owned them that series. Ooh. And he drove left and he hit a floater off the glass, and it was just the most majestic runner.
The Portland dunk on Nurkic was really good.
That was dirty. This floater made no sense, because mathematically, it's just not.
Sonic, you know why I like that one so much? I feel like I can hit that shot.
All right, we're moving on. All right, but now we're gonna play trivia, right, Abdi?
Yep.
All right. I have questions. So the answer, the questions are the theme. The theme is, who am I? I'm gonna say a beat or something, and y'all first one and say the player name. All
right. You have the name. You have the answer, right? Yeah. The player. Yeah. So just give us. Just do the first 10. Ten questions. Don't do 25. Okay. Don't do the 25. We got to get it in 10.
All right. All right, okay. Wait, now Abby, I have a question. Is this all like all three guys working together, or?
Yeah, we're gonna or is we can each get a question back to back to back. Or we're how gonna go one by
work together. Work together. Okay, you guys ready?
Yeah.
All right. And this is the first one. All right, who am I? I am the youngest MVP ever.
Let's discuss. D-Rose. Let's discuss.
Derrick Rose.
Correct.
It could be Luka.
Hey, could we discuss as a team?
No, yeah, we don't.
All right. I have the most triple doubles in a season.
I know this one, guys.
I know this one too.
Go ahead. As a team, before we say it to Sadiq, I really think it's Russell Westbrook. I'm very calm. Russell Westbrook.
We have to answer like the way in trivia and say, am I?
Yeah.
Oh, I am. Okay. I have an answer.
Yeah.
I am Russell Westbrook.
Correct.
I am. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm the all time.
Who is?
And this is a little old, so
I think, can you slap your table and answer the next one? I was kidding.
okay. But I have the most dunk contest wins.
I think I know this, guys. I want to say it's Nate Robinson. He three-peated. It's not Dwight Howard, I don't think.
It's not. It's definitely not Dwight Howard.
Am I?
Hey, buddy. What's going on?
Is it Nate Robinson?
We got it, Sadiq. Who is Nate Robinson?
Correct.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. We should do like Yoda, like Nate Robinson, I am.
All right. So you really checked me, even though I knew the answer.
All right. also, and some of these are old. All right? So
that's fine. Looking through, that's fine.
All right? But I've been on 9 different NBA teams that came back from a career ending injury. Who am I?
I know this one, guys. I want to see if you guys know it, though, because I know it. I know it for a fact.
Let's check 9 different teams. Who had a career-ending injury
like that? I think it's Sean Livingston.
I think it's either Sean Livingston. Yeah. Ooh, no.
Our Somali brother.
No. I think it might be Grant Hill.
No.
No, Glenn's right. Career-ending, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the most known thing about Sean Livingston is he had a career-ending injury, like literally almost amputated.
I trust you. You can say it.
I am Sean Livingston. Sadiq.
Hey. All right.
I'm locked in for this next one.
You locked in for the next one? Okay.
Make it tough. I'm not even sweating yet.
Make it tough. Okay. This one's going to be easy because these are not tough. And these are also very old.
LeBron.
All right. I have to pick a new one. Hold on.
No way.
All right.
Kevin Durant.
What year is this? Hold up. So what year did this come out? This came out in... Sorry, I am choking right now. I'm trying to find what year this came out. Okay.
10 dance for the fans. Yeah, dance 10. Like unprofessionally looks through these questions that were...
This is a hard one. Okay. I have the most career wins as a coach. Who am I?
I think it's Red Auerbach, guys.
Am I?
Hey, what, buddy? We didn't even discuss. Like, what's going on with the rules? What's going on with the rules, Abdi?
I think it's Pop. It's either Pop. Oh, of all time?
All time.
I think it's Red Auerbach, guys.
It might be him. Or it might be Pop or Albrecht.
Red Auerbach. Sadiq said it was hard. Yeah, let's do hard. The one he is. Sadiq said, let's do red. Let's do red.
Yeah.
Pop is too
but
easy.
The thing is, we would know. We would like.
I think red has the most championships. I don't know. I know it. Who is Red Auerbach?
Incorrect. No! I will say this. Top, right? The person reached. Actually, I'll be quiet. But keep going. Is that Red Auerbach? Am I Pop? Yes, you're Pop. It was the answer here was Don Nelson. I said, I don't think that's right. So I looked it up. Greg Pop actually recently beat it a few years ago. All right, this is very old. Okay.
I think Red Auerbach is some freaking like championship leader or something.
All right.
Let's get a last one, Sadiq. Give us a good one for the last one.
A good one?
Good one.
Okay.
Because Gula is cheating. You see his eyes on the screen. You know.
I was looking up Red
Arrow. Yeah, you got it, bro. Go ahead, Sadiq.
Me cheating?
Yeah. You know you need it. I don't cheat. You know you need it.
Okay, I don't need anything. You want to go 1v1 on this one? Because I'll beat you for sure.
Meet me on Rust.
Yeah, okay. I'm about to 1v1 this kid right now.
All right.
Don't do 10 like that.
I'm over here. Here we go.
I'm just a buzzer. I am tied for second in turnovers this NBA season.
Oh, my God. This has to be. I think it's Steph Curry.
No, tied for second. Who had? We got the guys.
Trae Young.
Trae Young's number one.
Damn.
All right.
Halliburton.
No.
No, it's not. It's not Halliburton.
Steph Curry.
No.
Luka.
No. I will say this: Luka's the person he's tied with.
Man, so that's technically right.
No, I said I'm tied for second. I don't want, but the answer was not Luka who I'm looking for. Next.
Yeah, but I'm technically next. Right, though. If you even look at the fabric of the question.
This is not a fair game. This is not a fair game, so.
We're not looking for the right answer. We're looking for Sadiq.
It's someone who has a lot of volume.
Mm. Who has it's the ball a lot in their hand.
A lot. We're talking a lot of volume. Someone who dominates the ball for most of the game.
It might not be a guard, guys.
I think it might be a guard.
I don't think
it's Jokic. Is it Giannis?
No.
Not Giannis?
Is it related,
by the way. Victor will be on his fifth on this list, which I didn't know.
He's
fifth on this list. Let me.
Oh, okay. Is it? I need a guard. It's a guard. Has to be. It's not Joker. It's not. Is it Cade?
You are so close because Cade is somewhere in the top 10, but it's not Cade.
Damn. That's a hard one.
I told you.
God damn.
Listen, I'll say this. You want a hint?
Yeah.
It is someone with the ball in their hands a lot, but it's not a guard.
Jokic?
I said Giannis.
It's not Jokic.
Jokic just turned over the ball. He probably has zero for the season. Fuck.
Wait, 10. What did you just say?
I said Giannis.
When did you say Giannis?
I said Giannis multiple times.
But you said Giannis?
I said him
that long ago. Oh, my God, dude.
I hope he says it's not Giannis.
No, it is Giannis. It's my bad.
Okay. Good game, 505 family. We're out of here.
My fault. I didn't hear you say Giannis, Ted. I'm going to replay the audio, Ted. If I didn't hear Giannis in there, all right, we're going to see.
No. All right, let's go.
All right. Hey, thank you guys for watching. Follow us on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us everywhere. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us everywhere. All right. No, thank you guys for listening. We're almost done with the season, guys. We're doing great. Again, amazing shout out to 10 for the clips and the editing. Please, 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 but give us some flowers. Say thank you in the comments. Shout out to Cloth.
I accept tips.
I have to go through the Big Fish Inc. So just make sure you guys just go ahead and shout out to him. All right, y'all. Have a good week. See you guys next week. Adios.